And now on 360 Documentaries, have you ever seen someone who's changed their appearance in a really shocking way? Maybe they had tattoos on their face, their tongue split in half, or particularly large spaces in their earlobes. What you might not know is that they're part of a much larger body modification or body mod scene. But why do they do it? Well, producer Stephanie Coombs set out to get under the skin, so to speak, of the people who get body modifications. And she went way above and beyond the course of her work duties for this story.
What's the stupidest thing you've ever done for work? This is mine. You're listening to the sound of me getting a magnet implanted under the skin of my fingertip at a Queensland piercing parlour, with no anaesthetic. Yes, this is mostly for your entertainment, but magnets in fingertips do have their practical uses. But more on that later. You might call what I'm doing mutilation, or most likely, stupidity. I refer to it as a body modification, or a body mod. You might have heard of the term before. You might have seen one before, and yes, you would have definitely noticed. Take, for example, Morris Amali.
I don't have a big overall plan. If I find something I really like, I'll get it done, if I think it's worth getting done.
If Morris didn't have body modifications, he'd blend into the crowd. In fact, he wouldn't look out of place at an IT convention or an accounting firm. But after a series of semi-surgical operations, Morris stands out. A lot. Two piercings jut out from his lower lips. They're called snake bites because they resemble fangs. He has tattoos and piercings on his arms. He's had a procedure called scarification, where his skin has been cut so that the resulting scar tissue leaves permanent designs. And perhaps most alarmingly, Morris's tongue has been split right down the middle.
Yeah, that one was fun. I was very nervous when I got it done, but I'd done my research and seems to be one of the mods that has the best satisfaction rate. So after talking to several people with it done, I decided to get it. Especially because I'd already had some of the other heavy mods done, I just thought it's the next step to go. Sat there, they did it, sutured the insides of it. Bled a lot, swelled up a lot, very painful. I don't think I'd ever do anything that extreme again, just because how painful it was, but the end result was worth it.
At any point did you think, what have I done?
Yes. Train ride home, straight after having it done, I thought, what have I done? Yeah, exactly. My mouth was full of blood at the time, and I'm on the train trying not to let anyone see, so quietly just spitting into a cup and into a plastic bag, yeah. I'd done the research, so I wasn't going to regret it. But I knew I wouldn't get anything that extreme again.
Kyla Fay is the piercer who is putting the magnet into my fingertip. She also has a few body mods.
I currently have a little bit of work done, not so much. My face, I've got a 10-gauge philtrum. I've got an 8-gauge septum, 12-gauge bridge. And then I've got two surface anchors. I think that's all I know on my face. I've had my ears cut and extended so that I could wear larger jewellery. So I've got quite big ears, I suppose, for some. For others, they're little. And I've got a silicon implant on my forearm in an alchemic symbol for sulphur. And I have a magnetic implant, so I don't have too much work done. I've got enough work for me to experience what it's like to be a modified person and definitely to be followed around in chemists and be shunned out of shops. But I'm not extreme compared to some, definitely.
People always ask why. Why would you choose to look frightening, grotesque, or even mutilated to most of the population? The answers vary from person to person.
I wouldn't have the big piercings in my face if I didn't kind of enjoy the intention of it. I mean, I do have them partially for the shock value. I've wanted them for a long time as well, just because I thought they look cool. I like how they feel and I like the reactions and I like how they look.
It's not about looking great, it's about feeling how you feel. You know, it's the inside reflecting on the outside. And if that's boobs, go for it. You know, if that's horns, go for it too. Like, you're no wrong for wanting it that way. It's just some people feel different from the day they're born that they need to change. Others, like I suppose myself, it's more the juxtaposition. I modify myself so that people assume that I am not what I am. They won't think she's educated, she's gone to university, she's done, you know, pays her taxes and is a part of the community, yet you look like that. That's what I like. I like the, you know, stuff it to you.
So what if you wanted some extreme body modifications? Perhaps a little tongue split? Or a magnet under your skin like me? Once your finger stops resembling a purple sausage, you can pick up small metallic objects. I can dangle necklaces, batteries, and bottle caps off my fingertip now. I may have the world's best party trick. Was it worth the pain? Hell no. But if that doesn't scare you off, to get a body mod, you'll need to go a little underground. Most of the people who do these operations don't advertise openly. I had to fly to the Gold Coast to get my magnet implanted. The studio was forebodingly named Flesh Impressions. Kyla, who did the procedure, has implanted about 20 magnets. She has a solid safety record, but she was quick to warn me of the dangers.
So your worst case scenario, death. If you don't look after it, you know, if you decide to put your finger in some sewage, you know, if you decide to smash the magnet up, that's the worst stuff. But the good stuff is we're using things that have been checked. They are sterile. I do double checking on the magnets as well to make sure they're healthy and that the resin isn't destroyed in any way. There's so many potentials for risk, but if you keep your variables sound and you do the right thing, you're not going to have any problem, no risk at all.
Dr. Geoffrey Lyons is the chairman of the Australian Society for Plastic Surgeons. He almost agreed with Kyla. Even if you do keep your variables safe, there's still a lot of risk.
The risks associated with those procedures, and certainly in my reading, is that there is an extremely high risk of rejection and loss and infection. If you get a significant infection in your finger, that can be very dangerous. I've had people with serious infections in their finger before that I've had to amputate their finger. Fingers, even though they look pretty innocent when they get infected, can cause problems, and people have died from infections in fingers. So at best it's not ideal, and at worst it's crazy and stupid.
Here's another little risk that neither Kyla or Dr. Lyons mentioned. The magnet implanted in my finger has a thin bio coating. What that exactly consists of, I don't know. But I do know that if the coating were to crack or break down, the magnet would erode under my skin. If that happens, there's a slim chance that the magnet could become weak and shatter. Apparently it's happened to someone before with a much earlier, more volatile prototype. Those are the dangers associated with what's seen as a fairly safe procedure in the body modification scene. Before I had the magnet implanted, I stared long and hard at my hands and decided, yeah, I could live without my ring finger. I mean, it would be an embarrassing story, but I could accept that as penance for a stupid decision. But I don't think I could live without my tongue. When Morris had the split, he said he bled a lot. It's not surprising. The tongue is an extremely vascular part of the body. In the studio that Morris went to for the procedure, the conditions were sterile and completely within regulation. But here's the thing. Being within regulation isn't that hard to achieve.
When it comes to body modification, there is no real laws in a sense. They're not written in the Public Health Act at all. Scalpels are included to be disposed of, but that doesn't say whether you can use them or can't use them. You've just got to dispose of them right. What I do and how I do it when it comes to magnets, no problem. I'm above the law by what they've written. So I'm not using any injectables. I'm not illegally numbing you in any way. You're here on your free will and you know of your risks, you know. Apart from that, all the law says I need to do is keep a clean room and know how to wash my hands, because that's all you need as a piercer these days, which is sad because we're still so far behind. They need to catch up, and a lot of us are working very hard to make sure that it catches up, because it also stops the people who aren't ready or don't know what they're doing from doing damage, you know. It's so easy for anyone to get a piercing license and to do what we do. It's so easy, it's a 2-day course, and then they can be a piercer, legally.
Dr. Lyons said the same thing. The laws are out of date. These procedures develop faster than the relevant legislation, leaving a black hole of legal ambiguity. There could be a solution of sorts, though. If qualified medical professionals were to offer at least some of these procedures, a lot of the risks could be managed. I raise this point with Dr. Lyons.
We're not talking about procedures that, by any stretch of the imagination, could be considered normal or routine. So they're outside the normal boundaries of what would be considered good and appropriate medicine and surgery. As you're aware, there are groups in America that are offering this on the understanding that they're doing this to provide a service for people that would otherwise have the procedure in potentially less than ideal circumstances. And that is certainly a safer procedure for them. Do I think that will be generally accepted by the plastic surgery community? No, I don't think it will. I don't think we're in the business of doing or undertaking potentially deforming and dangerous procedures on patients. Our whole training is in plastic and reconstructive surgery is around restoring and making things better, not making them stand out and making them appear abnormal.
That's all very well, but I think that it's not unreasonable to say that a lot of plastic surgery walks a very fine line between enhancing and deforming.
I always come back to this idea of rather large plastic bags filled with silicon shoved in beneath the muscle or beneath the flesh of the breast. And I've seen those operations done. If you're going to say anything is grotesque, those operations are grotesque, and they're no less grotesque than having a split tongue.
That's Dr. Meredith Jones from the UTS Cultural Studies Group. Dr. Jones has written extensively on the body, body modifications, and plastic surgery. So why will a surgeon happily put a healthy patient under a general anaesthetic and perform breast augmentation surgery, but balk at less invasive procedures?
It's partly to do with history. In fact, it's a lot to do with history. So the way that cosmetic surgery as we currently practice it and know it came about was because during the First World War, a whole lot of plastic surgery skills were developed by a group of surgeons, and they were absolutely groundbreaking skills. They basically worked out how to reconstruct faces that had been destroyed by shrapnel. Now, once all of those faces had been reconstructed as best they could, this whole mighty new skill set and a whole lot of surgeons were left with nothing to do. Well, what they've effectively been doing between then and now is building a new client base. And what they turned to from men who'd been injured in warfare, they turned to women who were not injured at all. So they created a market for themselves. And that's a very simplistic way of putting it because there are a lot of other forces in play as well, including, you know, the rise of a middle class that had money to spend, new standards of beauty, etc. Now, that market that they created was a respectable middle class market. And the way that cosmetic surgery has always been sold was it is as a way to enhance yourself in line with acceptable social norms.
When I show people that I have a magnet in my finger, I'm pretty much met with universal confusion and, if I'm going to be honest, disgust. I mean, I explain to them that I can dangle metal off my fingertip, but strangely that doesn't seem to be enough of a reason. It'll probably make less sense to you when you hear what I went through to get my body mod.
All I want you to do is concentrate on your breathing. Now's the point where you start to remember why you're here, remember
yeah.
what you're doing.
Okay, alright. How long is the needle gonna be in?
Forever. Yeah, if we set you up for that.
Okay, alright, oh my god. Okay.
So breath in and again. In breathe.
Ah, fuck me.
Breathe.
Oh my god, it's so much worse than I thought.
Keep breathing. Worst part's done. First part's done.
The pain was excruciating the whole way through the procedure.
That's it, so good.
And while I'd like to describe to you how the magnet went into my finger, I can't. My eyes were squeezed closed the entire time. What I do know is that a long metallic spike, closer in girth to a knitting needle than a sewing needle, was shoved through the extremely sensitive tip of my finger. The pocket that was created in my skin was thick and long enough to shove a small bio-coated magnet into. There were no stitches, and I bled surprisingly little.
Magnet's in.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Keep breathing.
It's like pins and needles through my whole head. Holy shit.
Shocking, right? That first part's shocking.
After I left the parlour and the adrenaline had left my system, I had the same moment of extreme regret that Maurice O'Malley had felt after his tongue had been split. My finger was bruised, swollen to double its size, and periodically emitting a terrible stabbing pain. What had I done? And how much was it going to cost to fix?
Well, there's an item number associated with what I would imagine, which would be a removal of foreign body. I can't tell exactly what that would be, but it would be $400 to $500, I would imagine, to do it here under, you know, under appropriate conditions with a tourniquet and some local anaesthetic. And even then, trying to remove foreign bodies is very difficult. Sometimes I take people to theatre to do it, because removing splinters and foreign bodies out of fingers can sometimes be very difficult. You can almost see them, but they're very hard to find, so it's just not a simple matter of making a dig and going in and pulling it out sometimes.
A couple of months on and I no longer regret the magnet. As my sister said, what's the point of dying when you're 90 with 10 perfect fingers but no interesting stories? And the good news is I have a good story and 10 perfect fingers. The wound has totally healed. If you stare at the area under a strong light, you can barely make out a small concave scar. But there's definitely nerve damage. I've lost feeling where the needle entered my skin. The dead patch is about the size of a screw head. Luckily, I don't notice it. If you push down on the pad of my finger, you can feel the small lump there. Other than that, you'd never guess. But I'm aware of it every day. If I'm not clipping onto metallic objects, I sense magnetic fields. That's right, I can sense magnetic fields. When I'm near certain electrical objects, my fingertip buzzes as the magnet spins under my skin. The first time I turned on my desk lamp, I almost jumped across the room. The magnetic field made my finger tingle and move. The sensation was both shocking and fascinating. I'm also able to trump every "the folly of youth" story I've encountered. And at pubs, people will buy you drinks if you can magically pick up bottle caps using only the tip of your finger. But the magnet is going to come out. Within the next few months, I'll pay Dr. Lyons the $400 or $500 to get my magnet removed. It's more than what a piercing parlour would charge by far, but I wouldn't court that kind of pain or danger again. I mean, I might have a magnet in my finger, but I'm not crazy.
My first body mod was produced by Stephanie Coombs, and the sound engineer was Mark Don. And Stephanie is still yet to have the magnet removed from her finger, much to the distress of her family.